Welcome to Big Game Hunger, a show where me and a guest craft the big next game every episode. We'll be taking three random ingredients and blending them together into one incredible game. I'm Jenna Stever, and I crave content. And I'm joined by Penny Olivia Parker. Penny, who are you, and what do you have a hunger for?
Hi, I'm Penny. I am a voice actor, YouTube content person, and Twitch streamer. What do I hunger for?
What do you hunger for?
I have an answer for this. I've listened to the show, so I thought about this beforehand. And the only answer I can come up with is just a geek-ass answer that doesn't feel satisfying, but feels honest. And I feel like that's more important.
Ooh.
I hunger for Dawn Trail. Final Fantasy XIV Dawn Trail. The new expansion, MMO, free trial now, up to level 70. No restrictions on playtime.
That's coming out pretty soon, isn't it?
Yeah, it comes out...
It's like a month?
Yeah, it comes out beginning of July. Technically, though, it's end of June, because they have like an early access thing where if you pre-order, you get like a few days early. But like everyone does the early access, so that's essentially just when the game comes out, right? So
what are you most excited about for it?
I mean, like, the thing I'm most excited about straight up is that they're overhauling like so many of the like graphical systems of the game. The game came out in like 2013 for the PS3 and, you know, Windows computers at the time, so like it definitely looks dated. They're doing a lot of updates to like shaders, texture systems, and like animation and all that kind of stuff. And like it looks like the same game, but better. It's like extremely well done. So I'm particularly just excited to play with my little Barbie doll characters in all the fancy new like textures with the clothes and everything, because fashion is the end game.
The beginning and the end game, I would say, for basically any game I'm playing.
Yeah.
Do you think they're gonna make the grapes into grapes? In this new shader update?
They shouldn't. I am actually, I think the one thing they should change, but for the worse, is they should make the grapes triangles again. I'm so serious about this. I miss them. They already made them better and thus made them worse.
I think they should. I think more games should be willing to kind of roll their graphics back.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's everybody's trying to make their graphics better and more up to date and more modern, especially for a game that's a decade old. More games need to be willing to say, hey, this could be shittier.
Yeah, we could do worse. I think worse is something we could strive for and achieve if we put our minds to it. I'm actually very excited right now about like the indie scene, because I foresaw this a million years ago when Mario Odyssey came out and they had that Mario 64 skin in the game that you could unlock like once you beat it. I was like, this to me signals the fact that we are circling around to where like N64 to like PlayStation to PS2 is the new like nostalgia craze. And that's exactly what's been happening in like indie games lately. And that excites me, because once we hit around like the PS2 nostalgia era, I'm going to be eating. Like, I'm going to be like feeding, because I love the PS2. I love that aesthetic. I think more games should look like PS2 games.
I think given enough time, given just a few more years now, we are going to be in the PS2 retro era. And then I think we'll level off, because I feel like PS3 era is just like the modern game aesthetic.
No one wants the piss filter back. No one wants like, I mean, I guess I can't say no one. There's some freaks out there, but like, you know, we don't have to. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm playing Crow Country right now, which is a PS1 Ooh. Era retro style, and it is very satisfying.
I cannot wait to play that. Isn't it like, is it similar to Resident Evil?
It's extremely Resident Evil. It is like a top tier Resident Evil PlayStation era game.
Oh, I love that. I can't wait. It's in my Steam library. I just need to boot it up.
It's great. You're going to love it. What are you playing right now, other than Final Fantasy XIV, obviously?
That would have been my... So right now, I mean, it's going to be another Final Fantasy. It's Final Fantasy IX, which has been my go-to stream game recently. And I'm actually playing that because of Final Fantasy XIV. So that's been my, because I usually have like two pillars of my day-to-day game activity. I have like stream games that I play publicly for reaction and content. And then I have ones that I don't tell anybody anything about. That's not true. I post secret. Like crazy, but
okay. The secrets.
So I'm playing FF9 on stream, and then off stream, a lot of my time has been taken over by FF14 off stream. But before that, I was playing, I think I started playing Alan Wake Remastered most recently.
Okay.
I need to get through that.
Did you play Alan Wake 2 when it came out, or are you working your way to it?
Okay. I specifically have been avoiding everything I can about Alan Wake 2 until I play the previous one and then the Control DLC. And it's taking way too long, and I keep hearing all these amazing things about 2, and I'm just like, I need it, but it's fine. I'll be patient.
You'll get there. They aren't super long games. You'll be fine. But you did play Control, right? You played Control.
I did. Yeah, I really like Control. I love that game a lot.
It's so good.
One thing I love in media in general, and it was something I realized right around the time I played Control. I was like, huh, this is an interesting theme. I like weird, scary offices. I like it when things have weird, scary offices in them. Do you
really specific.
I know, right? I thought the same thing, but I was like, it makes sense. Because at the time, I think I was playing Control. Okay. And then I also was really into Prey, which also is a weird, scary office.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think. There was like a show or something that I also...
Severance?
No, I need to watch that. I've been meaning to. That is also a weird, scary office.
It is the weirdest, scariest office. You are really going to enjoy Severance.
I think I'm going to be very into it.
Are there a lot of weird, scary offices in the Final Fantasy universe?
No, not really. There's a couple weird offices. I don't know about scary offices. There's a weird office in Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
Both OG and Remake, the Shinra headquarters has some weird offices in there, but
okay.
It's not the same.
Is Dawn Treader going to have a lot of, you think, presumably ocean-bound offices?
You know what? Ooh, it actually could. And that makes me very happy. Because the thing that this game does is I'm trying so hard not to info dump about my favorite video game right now on your show. Succinctly. The thing that they do is that they introduce an expansion with a very specific theme that you expect it to be. And then they kind of like twist it a little bit partway through, and they change your entire perception of like what the actual mood and theme of it is. And they recently kind of showed their hand a little bit, because everything we had seen of Dawn Trail up to a certain trailer was like, you know, like summer vacation vibes, and like, you know, you're going to this like this area that's very inspired by like South America, and it's like super cool. Like you have all these like cool villages, and it's all like, would it be Aztec? I don't know. I'm very uninformed about geography. But then suddenly in one trailer, they reveal this like super weird sci-fi town, and it's like, why does this exist? And they won't tell anything about it except showing that it's there and saying, here's a cool place. We're not even showing NPCs in this area because they're spoilers. And I'm like, how does that work? So there might be an office in there. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Like they're all wearing office uniforms. And so if they showed even a single NPC, people would be like, oh.
Yeah.
I clocked that.
We would be able to tell, oh shit, it's a Culver's. That makes so much sense.
It's not Dawn Trail, it's Dawn Paper Trail. We're hitting the archives.
Exactly. Yeah, it's I can't think of job puns. We gotta move on.
Penny, are you ready to pick some objects from the ingredient list?
I am so ready, please.
Excellent. All right. This is where we pick three ingredients, an adjective, a premise, and a type of gameplay. So let me roll my little die and see what we got. All right. I have selected our options, and this is the point, which I have not told you what they are yet, but it's a good lineup. And this is the point in which I ask if you would like to participate in the Grant Howitt Dagger Dartboard, which has 30 or more crazy ingredient list options from Grant Howitt when he was on. He gave me a whole list, and they're trickier, but they're a lot of fun. Do you want to participate in the Grant Howitt Dagger Dartboard, Penny?
I feel it's so you give me the option and I feel like such a bad sport if I were to say no.
It's up to you. And by which I mean.
I mean, it's a coin flip either way.
Yeah. By which I mean, it's up to fate.
It's up to the 50-50. I'll take that chance. Sure.
All right. Heads or tails?
Tails.
Heads. So you don't get it. But that's fine because our lineup, okay. I think, is really good. I think our lineup is going to keep us busy.
I'm excited.
The first word, our adjective, is wooden.
Okay.
Our premise comes from previous guest Faith Schaefer. Thank you, Faith. And it is train.
Okay.
And our type of gameplay is a game that doesn't use any controller.
So a Kinect game about trains. Okay.
Potentially.
I'm seeing the vision.
Here's what I'll say is like... We don't have to make a video game on this show. We normally do, but we don't have to. But I do think it is funny to make a video game that doesn't use any controller.
I do too. I think we could do some interesting stuff. I do like knowing that even making a video game is not required. Makes me think of that BoJack Horseman bit where like Todd and the Quentin Tarantulino or whatever his name is, like take a film project and just start like devolving it into like, oh, now it's like a monthly snack box or whatever.
We could do that. Is this a monthly wooden train box?
I don't think it's a monthly curated box of snacks. Okay. No, I don't trust myself to have a taste that appeals to literally anyone except me.
I mean, you touched on the Kinect, which is kind of this. There was also a really good game. Let me see if I can remember. I think it was a book called Before Your Eyes.
Yes. Oh my God, I love that.
Did you play that?
I did. Yeah, I cried my eyes out. I cried before my eyes out.
Hey. If I remember correctly, I played this on stream and it is a game that is controlled by your blinking. So you're yes. playing with like a webcam and the game basically only moves forward when you blink, but in a way that is harrowing and very emotional.
It is extremely potent. It's very powerful. We could do something. I'm trying to think of like, okay, so we have the Kinect, which is like, you are the controller, which way, I feel like kind of disqualifies it for this premise, because if you're the controller, then there is a controller.
Yeah.
Right?
Your body. Yeah.
Right. I'm tempted to go in the direction of making something somewhat passive, but then at that point, you're just making a movie. Which could also be a fun little commentary on the current state of AAA gaming if we want to be a little cheeky about it. But
I love being cheeky, Penny.
Me too.
That is really funny. I do love the idea of making a movie and then putting it on Steam and selling it as a game that doesn't use a controller.
It's a game that's... It's just like a whole season of Columbo, and it's like,
you're Detective Columbo, and in this game that uses no controller, you solve the mysteries. Take notes. Affect nothing.
You boot it up. There is a new game. There's a load game option. There's the options where you can turn on like full screen windowed subtitles. You click a new game.
It's like load game in this case is just scene selection.
Like, it's just a DVD menu.
It's just the continue watching option on Netflix.
It is just a ripped DVD menu.
Okay, well, I feel like, okay, so this is very funny. I feel like we risk losing the plot a little bit if we focus in so hard on the controller thing right out the gate. Let's take a look at some of our other pillars here.
Okay.
Wooden and trains.
Yeah. Wooden, I think, is interesting because obviously you could do something like a wood aesthetic, right? Mm-hmm. Like visually wooden. I think that is the most obvious. And I think that's really popular in games right now, having like a notable textural, like, oh, here's a claymation game. Here's this wooden style game.
Plucky Squire. Very recent example. People love that tactility. Is that a word?
Yeah. Yeah.
Should be.
Tactic. They love tactics games, by which we mean tactile.
Fire Emblem.
But wooden could also, it could be like an emotional sense.
Right.
Right. Sort of like it's a wooden, wooden vibe.
Somewhat droll, somewhat monotonous, maybe. Like kind of
stoic.
Yeah, stoic. That's a very good word for it. Yeah, we could go in the tone direction.
Yeah.
But how would that relate to trains?
When I think of wooden trains, I do think about like train sets. Did you have like a train set growing up?
No, but I'm right there with you. I think of the same thing. I think little model trains.
Yes.
Made of wood. On the ground, choo-choo.
Yeah, you drag them and you go choo-choo and you make weird intricate little tracks. With all the little wooden bits that you have from this. I think that is an option.
What if we go in the tone direction and wooden is the description of sort of the demeanor of like a particular character? Like maybe a conductor character who has a very sort of like unparsable like personality. Like you look at him and you're just like, what are you even thinking, man?
I like that. I like that because I am currently reading Moby Dick, and what you've suggested is a sort of Ahab figure where he's like the conductor of the train, which is, as we know, basically the captain, right? He's kind of the captain. He's looking, he's keeping track of everything, you know, making sure that everything's running on time. I like the idea of a stoic train conductor who is it the player character or is he a side character?
Oh my gosh, wait. Sorry, I'm like, I feel like my third eye is opening as we speak. Okay, so we joked about the Kinect, but do you remember the Kinect? What was that kid's name? Was it Milo?
Milo
demo for Kinect?
Yes, Biddy.
The entire game, there was no game really. It was just you interacting with like this AI kid, right?
Oh my God. Yeah, Project Milo. Fuck. Penny.
Right, exactly. The thing that never happened. Ooh, vaporware, scary.
I mean, it is the most haunted vaporware possible. Fucking Milo.
Scarier than any office I've ever seen. So what if we kind of went in that direction? What if like the game is not played? The game is like talked to. The game is conversed with, you know?
I like that. I like that a lot. Is our Milo this wooden train conductor?
I mean, it's a place to start. We can go back to the drawing board anytime we want, but
no,
I feel
okay.
Like,
what if this is, what if we are combining a lot of the things that we've said already? What if he is a literally wooden train conductor, but also a metaphorically wooden train conductor that you're trying to draw out? And as you draw him out, he becomes flesh. It's Pinocchio.
He becomes a real boy. I could feel us both reaching the exact same conclusion. Oh my gosh. Okay, so train conductor Pinocchio. The goal of the game is to converse with him. give him his first real sense of human connection to become a real boy. A real man, I guess. Is he an adult? Like, is
I think
he
should be an
kid?
Adult. I don't want to encourage people to be coaxing out children.
I don't want to talk to a 9-year-old. Come on, I got things to do. I got taxes. Just got the fucking time.
The nature of humanity is that, given enough time and resources, we will just recreate Pygmalion over and over and over again.
So. Is there an ending? I guess. We're already creating something so unnecessarily esoteric. Who's going to play this?
No, I billions of people, Penny. Everybody on the planet is going to love
You're right.
Milo 2. We're going to come You're up right. with a better name. Because this is just, because, okay, here's the thing about, about AI is that people are using it in crazy ways. Right. As I understand it, largely to replicate the experience of having a romantic partner that you can treat however you want, which is sort of, it is what it is.
Right. You know, I'm going to stop there. if I speak. When we bring like modern, I don't know if I want to go in the direction of like even thinking about modern AI and the current state of like, because, you know, I think of like the whole like Ubisoft like tech demo that was going around where it's like, did you see anything about that? Where it's like, you're this thing joining, it was like a GDC. They're like, you're joining the resistance. And it's like, you got to talk to these people. And
it was at like a cafe, wasn't it? At like, I saw one that was like at a cafe and you were like, you had a conversation with an NPC and it was the most boring conversation where you were just like, hey, I know. Yeah, what are you in town for?
Just like the most visionless thing. Yeah. So, I don't know if we want to go in that direction. We want this Pinocchio train to be.
What, Penny? What adjective are you grasping for?
Maybe I need to rethink my stance here. If we're going for wooden, that actually is maybe perfect. Chat GPT. Chat guy on a Pinocchio train. Is that anything? Chat with a guy named Pinocchio on a train.
Is the train becoming sentient? Because a Pinocchio train, a wooden Pinocchio train, implies a train that is going to become Thomas the Tank Engine. A real train.
I think that's the sequel. I think we're losing the plot if we start going in that direction.
Hello, I have a brand new merch store with DFTBA. Go to bit.ly/JennaMerch, all lowercase, and check out the offerings. There's some excellent stickers, a cool mug, and an incredible Big Game Hunger shirt. You might be like, I don't know about wearing branded merch, but trust me, you will love this shirt. It's gorgeous. The shop is currently accepting pre-orders until May 22nd. All of the merch should still be available after pre-order period, but it depends how sales go. So if you see something you want, don't hesitate. And if you're already a paying member of my Patreon at patreon.com/thejenna, then you have an exclusive 15% off code waiting for you. That's at bit.ly/jennamerch, all lowercase. I hope you're enjoying Big Game Hunger. You should check out some of the other shows that are part of the Multitude Collective. I think you'd enjoy Spirits. Spirits is a history and comedy podcast focused on everything folklore, mythology, and the occult, told through the lens of feminism, queerness, and modern adulthood. Every week, mythology buff Julia and her childhood best friend Amanda get together to learn about a different story from mythology and folklore over drinks. Get it? Spirits! That's everything from mythological origins of major franchises like Lord of the Rings and Wonder Woman, to a roundup of werewolf stories around the world, to modern urban legends like Creepypasta. Maybe there's an episode on that that has a cool person that joined them for that episode, then you want to listen to it. Start listening with any of the 300 episodes they've released over the last 7 years. There is so much to enjoy, whether you're here for the analyses of mental health and mythology, or just want some creepy modern ghost stories. Dive in at spiritspodcast.com or search for Spirits wherever you download your podcasts. Well, let me pitch you something. All right.
Okay, go for it.
You know, There are certain theories that I have only ever read in passing and never really delved into, so I'm going to butcher them. But there's theories that suggest that, we didn't We didn't domesticate cats. Cats domesticated us. You hear that? I hear that sometimes, or people will be okay. like, yeah, no, we didn't. We don't domesticate plants. Plants domesticate us by training us how to water and care for them. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, listen, if you care for something, you are changing as much as they are changing. And that's how you fit together with people, is you both change, and that's beautiful.
Okay. Okay.
What if our wooden train conductor, what if it's not, what if we can bill it as AI, but it's not.
Right.
When you play this game by talking to it, it is teaching you how to be less stoic. And you think that you're pulling the train conductor out and withdrawing his emotional core, but it's actually doing that to you. And so okay. It's not smart. But you are being trained with how to engage with it in such a way that you're like, wow, it's really deep. But it's just like a therapy bot. It's just like a really basic therapy bot.
Okay, okay. I don't mind that idea. That feels like potentially very Undertale-esque kind of meta direction where, like, the game itself is sort of like commenting on your own interactions with it and like affecting how you sort of like perceive the line between playing a game versus understanding these characters as real people. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there's an angle we could go for there. I'm just trying to think, like, we have a lot of theories. We have a lot of like disparate pieces here.
Yes.
This is insane. Yes, I understand. What if we take a moment to focus in on our conductor, the sort of centerpiece of the whole thing, because he's not smart in the sense that he's like this revolutionary technology, but right. I think like he should be clever, and I think he should be like a character. You know, we need to talk about, like, is there an end goal? What are his goals? How do we sort of, like, is there a version of this game where maybe, like, there's a win condition based on how much you help him achieve his goal of, like, understanding humanity and becoming closer to, like, reality?
Let me pitch a concept to you.
Okay.
Okay, so if you think about train tracks and driving down those train tracks as sort of being a branching narrative.
Okay.
Maybe the wooden train conductor is taking you along a branching narrative, and that is visualized in the form of train tracks, and you can like circle back to some of them, but you have to, that is like our visual representation of how well you have engaged. It's like how many train tracks you've traveled on. Is that anything?
That is something. And you know what that makes me think?
What?
Okay, I have a pitch for you in turn. I'm gonna take that, maybe add a little bit of, we're gonna add a little bit of a different sauce to it. So. Mm-hmm.
Sauce me, Penny.
I think of the trolley problem.
Okay.
What if our game is you are standing in front of this wooden conductor, and he is literally wooden as in like he's a puppet, but he's also wooden in that it is extremely difficult to get through to him.
Okay.
Here's a example. Have you seen, it's new game just came out around the same time as all these other fantastic indie games that just dropped out of nowhere. What's the name of it? I'm gonna go crazy. It just left my brain. Crypt Master.
Oh, I've heard really good things about it. I haven't played it yet though.
So Crypt Master, from what I can, I haven't played it myself either, but I've seen a lot about it. It is a text input game where you are similarly interacting with a character who is like ever present on screen, and he has like reactions to the strangest things you type. Like the amount of things you can type that he reacts to like bespokely is kind of insane. So what if it's a similar setup where we have our own sort of like Crypt Master character, this wooden train conductor? You're going along the tracks and Your job is to convince him to veer off of the track that is going to cause the most harm. But he is this impenetrable force of like stoicness. He doesn't care. He doesn't even, like, you almost believe he doesn't even hear you at first. Like, you can't even speak. Everything is done through the microphone, similarly to the Milotech demo. And we reintegrate in the modern era the Microsoft Xbox Kinect.
I mean, the Kinect has been, it's just been one blockbuster game away from
Kinectimals
making a comeback.
Wasn't enough. I told them it wasn't going to be enough, and they didn't listen.
I think that's incredible. I think I love that it's about the trolley problem, because I feel like that is such a thing that's become so embedded in pop culture. I guess because of The Good Place, but is also just, I think, an interesting conversation to have.
It's way past. I mean, like, I feel like The Good Place picked up on that because of how much it was already gaining like momentum in the cultural zeitgeist, you know?
Much like a runaway train. Yeah.
And yes.
On a one-way track. Yeah. So
we're
I love
cooking.
That it taps into that. Yeah. And I love how focused this is. I also love the idea of booting up this game. And the first 5 minutes, you're just talking at the screen and being like, is my Kinect even working? I haven't used it in 8 years, and so I don't actually know if it's working. This wooden train conductor is not listening to me at all, and I can't tell if this is the game. But then when you get through it, when you finally use some sort of keyword that actually connects, then you're in. And ooh.
Connects.
Oh my god,
it was right there the whole time.
It was,
yeah, no,
there.
And then you realize, you're like, oh, he can hear me, he just doesn't like me, he doesn't care about what I have to say. And then it's like, what do I do with that? Do I quit the game? No, I don't quit the game. I need him to change tracks. And so that you keep going, you say, sir, why won't you listen to me? You get the slightest little, and it's like,
it takes another 2 hours for him to make any actual words to actually respond to you, but you can tell you're getting through.
Ooh. What if he has, I don't know how much, I mean, but this is just how game dev is, right? You throw things at the wall and then like you leave a ton of stuff on the cutting room floor. Spoken as someone who's never developed a game, I know what I'm talking about. So what if he has like a tragic backstory?
A train-based backstory?
Train-based could be something with his wife.
I like that. What if his husband died because his husband was tied to a train track by some dastardly devil, and so that's why now he always goes towards the five people tied to the train track, because he's like, what if that one person is a beloved. I care more about that one person. It makes no sense.
And those five people are probably just fucking, I don't know, gamers.
Yeah,
they're probably like
they all look like lonely incels, so it's
they
fine.
They play Lalafell, it's fine. We don't need it. So that's very funny. I was gonna go in the direction, and then the more I talked about it, the more I was like, no, this is not the idea. But the reason I brought that up is because I was like, what if you like start the game and you enter like a personal like profile description of like who you are, like your interests, your hobbies, and then we have a system where like depending on how who you are relates to his own backstory, he likes you less.
I think that's
like,
so funny.
I was like, we can't code prejudice into our game. It's not gonna work.
Okay, well, when you put it like that, it's yeah, not a great like, idea.
I know, that's why, like, my idea was unfinished when I brought up the, like, the tragic backstory. I was like, we can't go that route.
Sometimes you gotta throw the spaghetti on the wall because the spaghetti is nasty and you're getting rid of it.
Exactly.
You don't know until you do
and,
that.
And all nasty things go on the wall.
All nasty things go on the wall, and that's how you
until
know.
Further review.
In the nasty corner.
So are the disasters we're averting specifically people who could be run over? Because I feel like if it's a progression kind of thing, that could get maybe a little boring, a little repetitive. And then at a certain point, it's like, if you lose once, it's like, well, like, what are we even doing? Like, what? I'm just convincing him to not run over five people every single time. I feel like there needs to be some kind of like procedural. Oh, I'm sorry. There needs to be some kind of like procedural disaster system that formulates, maybe it's not literal harm.
Oh, it's a metaphor?
Maybe not a metaphor, but maybe it's like, I don't know. Maybe it is literal harm. I don't know. I can't think of anything else.
I mean, the trolley problem, in essence, I mean, it's the literal trolley problem is you're on a train track. You have to decide if the train goes left and kills five people. No, you decide if you do nothing, the train will hit five people. Or you can choose to pull a lever that will reroute the train, and then that train will only hit one person. And so the question of the trolley problem is like, your inactivity kills five people, but your activity kills one person, and so you're more culpable sort of for that one death than you would be for the five.
In the five person scenario, you have literally no input. Like you're removing yourself from the situation, and then what happens, right? Sort of a shirking of responsibility. But then, like, you know, if you are actively choosing to kill one person, that's like, that's the whole thing.
So is there a version of this game where you don't interact and you just watch this wooden train man murder multiples of five people as it unswervingly completes its route along what is the worst train track in America?
What if that's the only way to get through to
is to let him murder?
No, it's to let him discover how it feels to look away and to decide that he has no stake in the matter, right? It's to sort of give him the opportunity to slowly come to terms with the fact that, like, he can make the situation better.
Oh.
Even if it still does harm, he can still, like, I guess I'm kind of like showing my hand. It's like where I stand on the trolley problem right now. But like, I feel like, I don't know. Maybe that's like the secret strat, you know? And then like everything else is just sort of like a fun toy. You can just see how many times you can convince him to change the track, but eventually he will go right back to his like stoicness and his disregard, and you have to start the whole process over again. And you can, if you want, you can keep doing it, but there's a secret ending where he realizes, like, this train that I'm on is causing so much harm and you're not gonna stop it. I'm the only one who can stop it. I'm the conductor. I own this fucking train. I gotta do something. And then he becomes a real boy.
Wow. He was Pinocchio the whole time. Okay.
Yeah. He takes responsibility for his own humanity.
Okay. That's beautiful, Penny, what you just said there at the end.
Yeah.
Because it's not a story about a boy lying until he gets swallowed by a whale. It's been a long time since I've read Pinocchio.
There's some of those beats are in there.
Yeah, I think that's the big arc of it. No, but I like this idea that, like, I mean, if we wanted to give him like a tragic backstory, I think sometimes when tragedy happens, you don't know how to deal with it. And so you just sort of wallow. But there's a certain point in which you have to start taking responsibility for yourself again. And I think that might, you know, I think that's especially true for like a lot of widowers where they had somebody that they relied on to take care of them basically for a long time. And then when they lose their partners, they don't know how to cook or clean anymore, and they are at ground zero for this sort of thing. And so this could be like, it could be like a really emotional story about helping somebody realize that they need to start living their life again. And told in a way in which a lot of pedestrians do get hit with trains.
Yeah. And I think it's also very valuable on the player end, because like on one hand, you get this fun toy, you can see how many ways you can get him to like change the tracks. But then if you decide to get the secret ending, it teaches you to quit yapping. You like it, like, and I think a lot of people could really use that right now. Jenna, our game is going to change the world.
It's going to train people to shut the fuck up.
Exactly. It's what we need in these modern times.
I love a game that teaches you to mind your own goddamn business. And
just let... Yeah. What do you think you can fix this guy? His husband's dead. Like, what are you... Oh, yeah. You're going to get involved, my hero. Like, sure.
You're not going to be there to take care of him. So, like, what do you think you're going to be doing? No, you need to let him figure his own shit out, right?
Exactly.
You need to step back.
And thus, the correct way to play our game, officially sanctioned by the publisher, we will accept no substitutes. The correct way to play is without controlling it. You give up control.
Oh my God, Penny. Oh my God.
I think we're cooking.
That was so smart. No, yeah, the way to win is to not control. It's to give up the idea of controlling or engaging with the game at all.
And then when you reach the secret ending, and this is going to be the best part, the secret ending is the conductor takes control of his own life. He becomes a real man. Uh-huh. And then he invites you to play a game of poker, and then it's Balatro. And then we just have Balatro at the end of the game, completely ripped line for line.
And nobody would say that it's a port. Like, we're not pirating Balatro.
Exactly. We just literally copied it line for line.
Only 0.001% of gamer will ever even get to that point.
Because we're going to copyright strike every video that shows the secret ending. So it stays secret. I love this. This is a good game.
Oh my God. It really is. I feel like there's something here. I love the idea of winning by giving up control so much and just letting this wooden Pinocchio train man live his life.
And in the battle pass, there's going to be a bunny suit for the conductor.
Wait, this is a game that has microtransactions?
We can talk about that later. It's fine. That's for like, we can give that to marketing. We don't have to like.
I like the idea that the battle pass exists, but it is just Balatro poker cards. And people are like, what does this unlock? How do we use these jokers in this game? There's not a poker game in it.
Little do they know.
Little do they know. That's perfect, Penny. I think you made a perfect game.
We made a perfect game.
We made a perfect game. Yeah, and it's such a pure concept. And it's going to be so easy to implement because it's just going to be like voice recognition stuff. We already have that with like Alexa and stuff. So like,
I could do it in my sleep. It's not even a problem.
Easy. Yeah. The only hard part about this game is getting the optimum ending in which you watch quite a lot of people get mowed down by a train in a pretty harrowing sequence.
What is the conductor's name?
Ooh, I mean, it can't be Pinocchio. That's too obvious. It could be something. Maybe it could be some sort of shortening of the word Pinocchio. Maybe like Penny. Maybe like Penny.
I was actually going to say, what if... Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. I have a pitch.
Oh.
All right. What if we have... What if... Okay. Female conductor. Okay. Right? The only way this works.
Okay.
Can I pitch the name of the game? Is it too soon?
Yeah. No, no. Let me hear it.
Holly's Trolley.
Polly's Trolley. Two L's on Polly or...
Holly's Trolley, two L's and an E on both.
H-O-L-L-E-Y-T-R-O-L-L-E-Y.
Yes.
I'm also going to type down just to see how it looks. Holly's Trolley's, no E's anywhere. Well, that's confusing. Never mind.
Yeah, we need the... I mean, we could just do H-O-L-L-Y. Or if you have a better idea, please feel free to...
It
veto.
Looks, I'm looking at it with the E. With the E, Holly does look like holy. It looks like I have misspelled holy. Holy's trolleys.
We're going to put a pin in that and work on that one later. I'm seeing the vision already, but yeah, I don't know.
I like Holly's trolleys. That puts me in the... I hadn't really been thinking about like the aesthetics of what this game is going to look like, but if we have a wooden conductor, I do think we have to kind of lean into the wooden train set aesthetic.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of cute and blocky and everything does have like that wooden texture to it. So there's like that literal level.
Right. And then much like Undertale, it has like that kind of like dark undertone where you start to sort of like eke out the little bits of terror and I can't think of another word.
Hmm. Holly's Horrors is the other word.
Holly's Horrors.
is the train murder? How explicit are we going to go with that? How
who is
dire?
Being murdered? What is being what? Who? What is being murdered? Is it little toy people?
It could just be cute little toy people, and then that kind of removes some of the culpability from us for the moral burden of the trolley problem.
And it's just easy. Maybe it's better on the budget. It's easier to animate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll be really blocky. They'll be like almost like Lego characters. And then when you mow them down, they'll just pop apart into constituent pieces.
But then what are the stakes, you know? I feel like this game, if we want it to have the impact it needs... Mm. We need some kind of grit to it.
It has to be murder, Penny. Are you saying it has to be murder?
Now I'm not advocating for murder, okay? I'm just saying I think in this one case it might have to be murder, but you know, don't quote me on that. Don't quote me on that. I'm just doing my job.
Yeah, well, listen, we got to give the people what they want. People love the gore. They love the blood. They love the muck. You know, people love that. They love their Mortal Kombats. You know, they love their PUBGs, where the G stands for gore.
Exactly. And the B stands for blood.
And the T stands for trolley.
Oh, man.
Bubsy. I think you're right. I do think, okay, here's my pitch. I do think that they should still look like little wooden dollies, much like our train conductor. But it should be pretty visceral when you run
them
down.
It should be like a shockingly visceral death. And that, honestly, I think gives it a little bit more of that shock that's going to inspire people to want to keep, like, saving these little toys.
Yes. Yeah, because if we don't do that, then people are just going to take that. They're going to take that initial route of saying nothing and letting Holly just murder, bulldoze all these people. But the first time they see five of these chunky little wooden, let's call it what it is, gut bags explode on the train track, they're going to be like, oh, I can't with that.
I can't. We can't let this happen again.
No, never again.
Little do they know. Sometimes you got to. Put up with some shit if you want results.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You are going to have to sit through two unending hours.
Yeah, because we do have an attentiveness feature. You have to be looking at the screen for the entire like 4-hour campaign of just watching Holly like run through
dozens, hundreds of people. Oh my God. Yeah, and then the credits roll, but they do look like an in memoriam for all the people that Holly has killed.
Sure.
Are we calling this Holly's Trolley?
I really like how cutesy Holly's Trolley sounds compared to the actual like content of the game.
It does sound cutesy. It does.
I'm open to a rework, but I do like the juxtaposition of it.
I like Holly's Trolleys. I do. I think that really does capture that kind of Madoka Magica vibe where it's like, oh, yeah. This may be so cute and fun. And then it's quickly not. It is quickly not.
Quickly. Yeah.
I love that. I love media that does that. I know it's basic, but I'm into it.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's basic. It's popular. I'd say, you know, it's probably just like, it's popular for a reason. It's fun. It's fun to like, I feel like even an expected subversion like that, it's still fun to like experience the subversion in action. I don't know.
I agree with you. And especially since like highly textured wooden-ish play toy game aesthetic is so popular right now, it is rife. It is rife.
Yeah.
For a bloody makeover.
I know. I think we gotta go that route.
Penny, do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Oh my gosh. I do like a million and one things on this worldwide web of ours. right now, you can most actively find me on youtube.com/snapcube and youtube.com/snapcube2. The former channel being for larger projects. I have like an EP on there. That's where I host my show, Snapcube's Real Time Fandub, and lots of cool stuff, stream edits, that kind of stuff. And then Snapcube 2 is for like long form, uncut like gameplay. I have a sleep aid series called Midnight Snap that I'm trying to get back to that I really enjoy making for that channel. And then you can find me on Twitch for all the live stuff. At twitch.tv/snapscube. There's an S in the middle of that one. I know it's confusing. Snapcube was taken. I lament every day about it. and then I am on Twitter at the same, at snapscube. And then if you just follow me on Twitter, any other place I show up, I'll probably post about it there.
Big Game Hunger is part of the Multitude Collective of podcasts created and hosted by me, Jenna Stever. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and also spread the word so other people can enjoy it as well. And don't forget to check out my merch shop, which is now open at DFTBA. You can find that at bit.ly/JennaMerch, all lowercase. Penny, what's one adjective, gameplay type, premise, etc. that you would like added to the ingredient list?
Quintessential.
Ooh, quintessential is fun because it's almost like a multiplier word.
Yeah.
Is that a dumb thing
to
say?
That's what I'm thinking. You pair that with any of the other concepts, and then suddenly your job becomes like a million times harder. You have to create the definitive example of whatever's paired with it. Have fun.
That's gonna be tricky. With the right guest, that's gonna crush. Penny, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Good. Thank you, listener, for enjoying Big Game Hunger. And don't forget to wishlist Holly's Trolleys on Steam. Release date, TBD.